Welcome to Young King Truth Teller, all you beautiful black people out there. This is your host, Kanye Tetsubo. I want to start this off by saying my condolences go out to all you black people who have lost a family member out there, because a lot of us in these trying times have lost some type of family member either to the virus or to some other ailments, but they're counting it as the virus. A friend of mine in particular, she lost her aunt, and ever since then, she has just been in a rough set of mind. She barely eats. She barely wants to talk to people. She is just going slightly crazy because of it, because she was really close to her aunt. So I gotta understand how she feels. And I try to be there as a friend to actually make sure that she eats, make sure that she's all right. But at the same time, the two of us, we are, I would say, not compatible with one another at the moment for a healthy friendship. Because in a way, we both were, in a slight way toxic for one another, because earlier this year, February 24, I believe, no, 25th, February 25th and February 27th, I lost two people. I lost my ex, who I had dated back in high school. Even after high school, we dated for a little bit. And she died from sickle cell. And days later, my grandfather died. And for me, I feel like that situation, my grandfather was and still is technically my fault. Because earlier that day, it started at the beginning of February that month. Yeah, I believe it was a Saturday or so. Well, the second day. And I had just came home from work. I went to sleep. The usual. You're tired. You just want to shut down so you can get that energy back. And then wake up, do what you got to do. Then go to work. But for me, that particular Saturday, things just happened a little different. I came home, my grandfather was referring to me, saying about his brother, George, and I was just confused about the whole situation, so I just kind of tuned him out, and I went to sleep, woke up a few minutes later. Something just didn't feel right, so I look inside my grandparents' room, and there my grandmother was laying halfway between the bed and the floor. And my grandfather, he wasn't in the room. So I rush over to her, trying to help her get back into the bed. She's barely able to speak, and I'm just trying to help her, but I got dead weight on me because she just was limp. So I get on the phone. I call 911. They send paramedics out. And eventually the paramedics, they take her. My grandfather, he didn't seem to even understand what the situation was. And that's at first, I just thought maybe he was doped out on pain medications, because he was missing. He was missing a finger because of an accident that happened to him, and they had to surgically remove his finger. So, in order for him to even really not be in a state of pain, he was taking medical drugs, like serious painkiller type of things. And my ex even sold him pills at one point at time because she knew what my grandfather was going through. Since she had sickle cell, she understood that pain tolerance. And when he was on those, when he was on the pills, he was a whole different person than when he wasn't on the pills. When he wasn't on the pills, he became grumpy. And then when that medicine really started to wear off on him, when he started to come down from that high, is what I'm trying to say. And that's when it was like he had that relapse. And when he had those relapses, he would get sick in a way. And that particular day, he was just gone. I thought it was the medicine that had did it. But later, I learned that he had dementia for at least 5 whole years. And this was the dementia that had kicked in. I'm guessing the trauma, what had happened, had just completely wiped his mind. Because he was not there. He was talking about things that happened in 2018, 2017, 2015. He was just everywhere. And but I, at that particular moment, I wasn't really thinking about that. I was more trying to get to the hospital where, because that's where the paramedics were going. So I say to him, "Do you want me to drive us there?" He's like, "You're not gonna touch those keys. You're not gonna do me what you did back in 2018." Because back in 2018, he basically picked up my laptop and was saying that if I don't go with them to the doctor, that he's gonna hit me in the head with it. And I guess I had a fight or flight type of moment with that situation where my body reacted before my mind could. And with that laptop in his hand, said, threatening me to hit me with it, I guess I just lost it and charged at him. And that's why there's a hole in my wall now. Because we hit the door and just bam. But he was still, I guess, holding on to that because no one in his right mind had ever done that to him. But that's beside the point. And his mind was just gone. It came down to a point where he took the keys with the car and backed out and just drove away. I called my mother on the phone, trying to get her to come down here, trying to get her to help with the situation. She never showed up. She said she would, but she never showed up. Because that's her father, and she was also in the medical, so I thought in particular that she could help with this type of situation. Because I don't know what is going on. And I called my grandmother's side of the family. And they immediately mobilized, like on some Autobots roll out type of things, where her granddaughter was at the hospital. My uncle, they got in contact with him. He was at the hospital. The only person who hadn't shown up was my mother. She didn't show up for nothing in this world until later. And I say 3 days later, at least, after the whole hospital thing and saying that she would show up that very same day, that night, because it was a very frantic and urgency that was going on, but the person didn't seem to treat it like that. But I'm not surprised by that because she seemed to think I instigated a lot of those situations that happened inside the house, even though I, in particular, told her everything that my grandfather has done to me and did to me. As a boy, a teen, and even into adulthood, she seemed to believe everything. But now I'm starting to think, or I believe that she never believed me on any of those things. Even though in my very first book that I published myself, I wrote all these things that have gone on and why I feel like as a Black man, I grew up in a very broken household, and why even now I feel like I'm in a sense broken. But again, that's another beside the point. just little notes to understand the situation a little deeper as to particular the story. And later, after my grandfather came back, we're trying to get him to talk to my mother over the phone, and he's not listening. He doesn't even seem to acknowledge that she's on the phone. In a way, I kind of feared for myself because I didn't know what would happen if I try to go near him. I'm not sure if I was gonna get hit or anything, so I tried to keep the situation as calm as possible and to do everything by the books or so. So eventually, he takes the keys again and tries to drive off, but before he even get to be able to drive off, he forgets how to turn on the car. And he's touching the radio, he's turning it, and it's as if he stopped remembering how to turn on the car entirely. And we've had push start cars for the last 4 years, so for him to forget how to even do that, that was very strange to me. Especially that back in December of 2019, we had a few incidences between us, but he, I would say, on the good days that his mind was there, he did pick me up from work, and I say during the evening rush hours of me trying to get to work, because from the place that this job was putting me at was, I would say, in a rough neighborhood. I had to be out there from 5 in the afternoon all the way to 7 in the morning. So they would take me and pick me up. But those seemed like those rare good days. And then one night they switched up and they decided to put me somewhere else. And I was telling them that I was just going to take the bus and the train to get to this particular place, but they insisted on taking me there themselves. And it's right then I should have noticed something was not right, because they're talking about he lost the keys, and that was the running joke of 2019. Him and those keys and his gun. He would lose them, supposedly, and later finds them after blaming everyone else, saying that they'd taken it. I even had the police called on me for his keys going missing, and then saying that I have done that before when I haven't. So it just became like a running joke. And that day that he forgot how to turn on the key, how to turn on the car, I should have realized at that moment that it wasn't just a coincidence, that there was something much deeper going on. So I eventually get on the line with 911 again. I'm trying to get another paramedics out there, but in this particular case, they didn't send paramedics, they sent the actual police. And the most haunting thing after that happened for me, and the reason why I say it's haunting, because you see a whole another level to him, and it's the way he reacted and said things that broke me to the point where I started crying uncontrollably, and I just couldn't stop myself. Because when the police were putting him in the handcuffs, it was his face and just everything at that moment just inside me broke. This is the person who, in a sense, kind of tormented me. And to see him like that, to see this once proud, strong black man actually look and sound the way he did, it just tore me apart in a way. And after that, they took him to the same hospital as my grandmother. My mother, I waited for her to come. She never showed up, as I said. Sunday, the very same day, I say my grandmother's granddaughter came to the house. They talked to me. They let me know that the doctor said that everything's gonna be all right, that she nearly overdosed on the medicine. And from there, it was just about trying to see them both at that point, because they got him in 2 hours later after her. And it was just a really rough spot in February. After that, my mother does finally show up with my brother, one of my brothers at least, and me and him, we were just talking, and my uncle and my mother, they start trying to help clean up the house. We're just, because he, my grandfather was, in a sense, like a hoarder. He would not let me clean our den for nothing in this world. It was just a disaster back there. But after they cleared it out, it looked a lot better. So time goes by. Eventually, my ex, she ends up in the hospital because I'm trying to now just go. I'm trying to just be the head of the household. At the same time, I'm checking on everyone and everything. Because my ex, she had sickle cell. She knew back in 2018 that she was not going to last long because of the text message that she had sent me. And I want to be selfish in a way because that was someone who I cared for and said that you're going to always live no matter what. Even if I had to give up my heart for you, I'll make sure you live. And it was just, I believe she passed away on the 25th and of February. And on the 27th of February, my grandfather passed away. So, it 2020 just took two people. That was the first two. A few others, because after that, that's when COVID started to hit the country a little harder. But they did not pass away of COVID. And I go to my ex's funeral, and I reconnect with some friends from high school and everything. I even reconnected with a woman that I would say I had a crush on back in high school. And she was in a very rough, she is still in a very rough spot where, in particularly, I would try my best to help everyone because that's just the type of person I am, to help people even when they can't help themselves. And I'm not trying to say this to shame her and everything, but to shame her or anything, but it's gotten to the point where I can't help this person no more because it doesn't seem like they want to help themselves. Because it's gotten to the point where she nearly owes me $700. And this was an every day, every week type of thing where she would say how her grandfather has been particularly mean to her, I would say. Or she would say that she's wearing newspapers as pads. She would tell me things like she has an eight. And when I hear things like that, I don't want, especially a it's coming from a black woman, I would not want to particularly not help, because I have to think, what if this is gonna be potentially like my daughter in the future, where say if I pass and she's left with barely anything. So I had to think about it like that type of situation, like what if this even was like even a lover? I would not want to not help. And me, I'm a guy. I don't know the price of pads. I don't know what kind she would need or anything. So I would just take her at word value. The whole price that she was saying. And then saying how she isn't eating, then how her grandfather isn't eating, and then she would say, offer me rides to my job. And along the way, she would ask, can we stop off at certain stores? And some of these stores would be like little corner stores, and she would buy cigarettes, like loose ones, and then she would buy liquor or oil for her car. Or we would go to Burger King and buy food. And I didn't mind putting gas in the car either. It just became to the point where it became rampant. And it was like, can you give me, give me, give me, give me? Can you keep giving me? Even after I told the person I can't do no more, the person would still be like, give me, give me, give me. And I would say that would be like chapter two of 2020, the gimme stage of someone who I was trying to help, but it doesn't seem like they really want help. They just want handouts. Because she even at some point offered sex for money. And saying that she would not particularly do this for anyone else, but she would do it for me. And we didn't go through with that, but that was, I would say, chapter two of my 2020. Chapter three would be more like a very rough spot where I am working and I'm falling asleep at work, potentially jeopardizing my job, and I have to be the man of the house at this stage because the money that I am giving my grandmother is in a way helping us be able to stay in the house because she had done a reverse mortgage and it was at the time a seven the loan was $7,000, but I believe by now we have it down to at least I would like to believe 5,000, but I don't particularly know the details of that. So it was a rough spot because I'm falling asleep at work at the same time. I wanted to make more podcasts, but I lost my voice to want to speak, didn't want to really do anything. I wasn't motivated. I in a sense, I think I became depressed because of what all that had happened prior. I didn't write no poetry, no stories. I wasn't really dreaming. I was having difficulty sleeping. It was just a very in-between rough time. And eventually I started using sex as a way to like fill that void. I had met someone particularly off this anonymous site. She says she's bi, but don't let that none of that matters. The thing about it, she dressed like a boy, but she says she's bi, and I was just using sex as a way to hide away from all that I was feeling and wanted to feel with this particular woman. And eventually, I had to just stop that because the person, oh, it's hard to explain that situation, but that one, no. And eventually, I had sex with a coworker at work, on the sofa at work, and one day she even like we try to do it more than once at work. And That was the first time I could say I had a bad sexual encounter with someone. Because, ladies, from a guy to you, please check yourselves and make sure your vagina is clean. Because there's just some things you can't erase from your taste buds. Or from your fingers. I'll just put as vaguely as possible. And after that first time, tried to do it again, couldn't do it. We did it again, but I learned how to get around that in that third round. And I cut that one off because that was, in a sense, just too nasty for me. It was like a Raven Simone on That's So Raven, your nasty moment. And I felt nasty for it because I said I wouldn't do it again after that second time when it was still horrible. And I went back and did it again. So I was just ashamed of myself. But at the same time, I didn't care. And that's when another friend of mine's, who had lost her aunt, she was in pain, and I particularly was in pain. I would say, used each other for sexual pleasure to fill that void. And no, this woman, she's a very good person. She didn't deserve me to use her for those type of purposes. Even though she has told me that she has had a crush on me, even likes me. But I wasn't thinking about those type of things at that particular moment. I was more thinking about how am I gonna fill this void that's within me after all that happened, because in between August and September, my grandfather's sister, one of them, had passed away in Georgia at a rehabilitation center from COVID, and then his other sister had passed away from cancer other in the throat. And after that, my great grandmother had passed away at the age of 92. So I was just in not in a very particular right mindset. I was just using sex as a getaway from all that was happening. And I didn't care who it was with, just as long as I could feel something. And it was also around the time that my best friend had moved in with us because of the situation that was going on her family. And one day I'll let her tell you that story. Because it's a story that I'm pretty sure many black women know all too well. And her mother was just using her as a therapist, as a cleaning lady. She had, in a way, lost her job because of someone she called a friend. And that was bad. That was some years ago. But still, she was keeping that phone bill on, and her mother wasn't questioning how was the phone bill even getting paid, because her mother was more particularly wrapped up in her husband, who is a chronic cheater, who was stealing from them, who was pretty much just treating her mother and still is treating her mother like pure trash. But this man is the one that her mother is loyal to, and whatever he said, he told her to do, she went back and did it, to the point now that she has damaged their family, and especially her relationship between her and her children. And at the same time, in between all of that, I haven't spoken to my own mother since the funeral. In this February, in I say May, early May. No, yes, early May. Yeah. No, not May. March. It was early March. Excuse me for that. All of this, just remembering all of this is a lot. Because it's really been a year of 2020. 2020 has been, wow. So after all of that, my best friend moved in and we been just she been just living here searching for jobs, because I understand she doesn't want to be under someone else's roof, because I still live with my grandmother myself, but at the same time she wants what's best for me and for me to save up my money so we can actually move out or so. And it's 2020 has just been that type of year where it's even difficult kind of to save money, especially when you're paying bills and you gotta think about laundry detergent, you gotta think about food, yet you're not just feeding yourself, you're feeding two other people at this point. Then you gotta think about the amount of laundry detergent between everyone's clothes and then stuff for the bathroom, they better clean the house. And we just recently had people clear, like, chop a lot of the stuff in our backyard down. And on top of that, my grandmother was hacked and scammed, where she had gave them the numbers off one off the gift cards. She lost 1,500 in that process. So it's been a strain all on me to be able to try to save money and to get myself to work, because for me to get back and forth to work, I had like tested it where I used my grandmother's account for getting me to work for a whole 2 weeks, and it turns out just to get myself back and forth to work for a whole 2 weeks is around $200 or so dollars. And I only make $800 or so dollars. So if I would did that for the whole 4 weeks until a paycheck, that would be my whole paycheck right there. So it's like trying to find ways of even saving with that, trying to take the bus as much as possible, but at the same time, you gotta think about your safety, especially when you're on these buses. A lot of people still do not want to wear masks. They're not washing their hands. They're just dirty, dirty people. And it's just been one of those times where you wish you could go back and start over again. Because for me, that's how 2020 has been. It's been a let me hit that reset button. Let me get a certain amount of money to be able to try and save where money isn't being taken out. And it's just one of those rough things that ever. Because that little $1,200, that was not gonna work out. We all knew that wasn't gonna work out. And the whole election, all the black people talking about their family members dying, seeing all of that in a way had left me in particularly numb because of even what was going on in my family. It was just so much death to where you just completely in your mind check out. Like your body is here, but your mind is elsewhere. And it was like that for a while. And I think today I'm just in a very different mindset and why I'm able to talk, because any other time I would not be able to talk or be able to articulate my words properly. And then dealing with my grandmother and the whole that loss of that money, And then every conversation she has with people, it's morbid in a sense. For me, it's morbid because it always ends up being something about such and such died, such and such win, and it makes other people then start thinking about all the losses that they had. And next, you know, the whole conversation becomes about death, and you're trying to not think about death. You're trying to escape from those thoughts, and then you're then lunge back into it. And then she doesn't want to be here alone at this house, and just using my best friend for that one purpose, because my best friend, she has been spending time with her family since she moved out and everything. Because the main person she has been close to is her auntie. So she's been helping her aunt here and there, and because her aunt is also a manager at Publix, it helps us get food inside the house. When particular where my checks aren't able to do that, she's able to bring the food in, and at the same time she would cook for us. She would try to make sure that I eat, because there have been days where I do not want to eat nothing at all, and or I haven't ate at all, and I would just be unhealthy. It was at this point, I do feel like I need to do a detox, because some days I would just eat nothing but junk, and that's unhealthy. I know it's unhealthy, but at the same time, it makes you feel good, because of all that's gone on, you don't want to feel nothing. You just want to eat the bad stuff just to feel good, even though you know it's bad for you. So I've gone through that whole stress eating, and then my doctor in particular telling me that I need to lose weight, and it's like difficult because I have pain already in my lower back, and trying to exercise with that has limited me. At the same time, I do want to see more family members and talk to them, but when you're in the mindset where you don't want to be around or talk to anyone, it makes it a lot difficult. And that's something that I understand completely, because that's what my friend who lost her aunt had been going through, where she would literally break down and put out there that she doesn't want to talk to anyone. She would ignore you. She just doesn't want to do anything, doesn't eat, just shuts down completely. And I've gone through that just a few times. I think that's a unhealthy thing for us to even be around each other at those type of moments, because it'll just turn sexual and we'll just use each other just to feel something other than this depression, this darkness that takes over us. Because I feel like she's a really good person and doesn't deserve for me to use her like that for my own gain. At the same time, I would not want her to use me for her own gain. It should be a mutual friendship that isn't about sex, because you can go so far with sex, and if it's only because we lost people and we're just only trying to feel something, then it's not going to go far at all. But at the same time, I do live with my best friend, and me and her are also exes, because we have dated. She has been the one that I've dated the longest, and the only one that in particularly tried to get me right. Even now, even though we're not dating, she still tries to get me right. She doesn't really want me to spend money. She wants me to save money. And I don't want to be always trying to have sex with her to make it look like that's all I want. So I don't want to be out there trying to use other women for those purposes, because then it doesn't look right on any level. So it's like 2020 has, in a way, brought me down to my lowest point. And I think for the future, I'm gonna try to change that up and get back to the highest point possible, where I don't need to use sex as a way to feel anything. or to let my depression get in the way of stopping me from being able to do more podcasts, stopping me from writing, because I had these ideas in my head of what I want to do with the podcast, with my writing and releasing my books, with life. But then that pit in my stomach, that where everything that has gone wrong is there, and it just goes to my mind, and I make the wrong decisions in a sense. So I think I want to say thank you to my best friend, who's always been there for me in my darkest and lowest point at time, and even now at my darkest and lowest point when I'm going through so much and trying to rebuild myself. And I want to be more of a provider for her. I want to stand by her and help her through even her roughest, darkest, and lowest time, because she deserves the world. She is and has been my world, in a sense. Making sure that I eat, making sure that I am mentally, physically, and spiritually doing well. And that's the type of person that I want to keep in my life. And I also want to try to rebrand my friendship with my friend who lost her aunt, because I feel like we could be really great friends where we hang out more often and actually talk more often. And it doesn't have to be about her aunt. It could just be about life, because we, in a way, in the same career path where I'm security. She has done security, but at the same time, she wants to open up her own business. And I wouldn't mind supporting her. I would like to support everyone that has a black-owned business, because that's just who I am. And it's just, you want to rebrand things and do things a little more differently. And at the same time, I, in the past few months, have been helping a different friend who we have fallen out. But she has had it rough since the whole virus, and losing her job and being on unemployment. She's trying to raise her daughter, and I just, in a way, stepped in to do that, to help raise this child who I feel like doesn't deserve to be in that type of situation, doesn't deserve to go without eating or anything. And it's not her fault, because the virus did happen. And at the same time, though, the father, he really isn't around because he is in jail. So I just, in a way, stepped up. And the reason, one reason, one aspect, at least one aspect of the reason as to why I decided to step in, was because of the things I was seeing that the mother was saying. She was saying how her child's father was not helping her, and things like that pissed me off. Especially, this is a beautiful black child. Children are innocent. And if you had no particular reason to help her raise your daughter, then you should not have inside of her. And you should just kept minding your business to not disrespect her or disrupt her. Because she could have found someone who wanted to have children with her and would have been there. But you decided to take all those choices and options away. So now I am going to be the one to step up and stand in. And you could either lead, follow, or get out the way. It could be in that order, or even not, even in that order. But either way, that child is going to have a happy birthday, have a proper Christmas, even though that is something I don't believe in. And that's just all I can say about that situation. that if she needs wipes, Pampers, clothing, it's going to happen. And I want to say thank you to also that friend, because even though we fell out, after words were said, she still is a good person. And even though I also fell out with another friend, but the only reason why me and this other person fell out is because she's a black woman telling me I should date outside my race. But at the same time, she dates outside her race, so I can understand why she said that. But I can't be friends with someone who knows that I live the lifestyle of being pro-black and pan-African. And you could casually say that I'm your best friend, but then you tell me to date outside my race. That's just someone I can't consider a best friend or any kind of friend, because I'm not gonna tell you to date outside your race, because I'm pretty sure she has had many opportunities to date black guys, but she hasn't, and she chose Hispanic guys, or so, because she said that's her preference. So, if that's your preference, then may you live your best life with your preference. But my preference is and has always been black women. I have never dated outside my race. So I would like to say thank you to her for being in my life as a on this journey, because you showed me that not everyone thinks the same, and there's just some people who are, I guess, seasons in your life. They're just not meant to be here all throughout your life. They're just there for one particular season, and that's it. And you should recognize that that person is a season and cut them off, because she is a seasonal type of person, and I did not see that at first. But I would still like to thank her for being in my life. And to everyone who has lost their family members or friend, again, my condolences go out to you all. And I just wanted to do this special podcast to tell you my story of 2020, my experience of it, and how I've gone from this high to this low. And now I'm trying to rebuild myself back to this high point again, because being low for so long, I guess I had, in a sense, time to purge myself of those negative states of mind, negative states of feeling. And I think it's now time to get back to the regular programming. Again, I want to thank my best friend for always being here in my life and being that woman who I can always turn to no matter what. Because without you, I pretty much think I would still be in that negative state of mind and state in general. Because living and sleeping and coming home to you has truly felt more like a marriage than just two best friends living together. At the same time, I would like to also thank my other two woman friends, because I only associate with the both of you, because you are, in a sense, amazing. Your characteristics and your dynamics are different. But at the same time, I could be myself around all three of you. I don't have to be a whole other person. And the fact that y'all see nothing but the best in me, even when I don't see it in myself, is truly what warms my heart. So I hope to be a better person for each and every one of you in the future. I would like to lastly say thank you to all my family that's out there that has been in my life, especially my father. I may not call him as much as I should since he came back to my life, but I will try to make that a little, I'll try to make that a little better by calling and texting more. Even my uncle, who was there for us when no one else was, and our cousin Michael, like all three y'all, I would say, are examples of black men and what a black man should be. And I, in particular, look up to each and every one of you. I'd like to thank everyone out there for listening to this podcast and supporting me throughout the years, because you are the real MVPs and the ones that get me to continue to do these podcasts. Without you or your support, I am nothing. With that being said, thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Uncanny Truth Teller. This is Kanye Tetsubo, and I'm signing out.